15. Keith and Wendy Hawk are missionaries in Uruguay with Biblical Ministries Worldwide and have been for 30 some years. They don't look old enough to have been there that long, but and it has been our privilege as a church to support them for much of that time. And so we are delighted to have them. It's always a blessing to have them here with us. So I'm going to introduce Keith, and he's going to introduce the video, and then we'll start that, and then we'll turn the rest of the time over to Keith.
Okay. We appreciate being back here today. It's been a few years. And just to give a word of explanation, I mean, it was July 8th, which is coming up here pretty soon, July 8th, 1972, that someone shared the gospel with me. And from that day on, it's just made all the difference in the world. I thank the Lord for someone taking that effort, making that effort. I was listening to a Christian singing group, and at their break time, I approached the director. I said, "What is this? Can you explain it to me a little bit more?" And he graciously did. And I tell you, I was about 5 feet two and 85 pounds, and I had a very big mouth and a very hateful heart. And God changed me. And I'm glad for that transformation, which has been the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, I finished up high school, barely, in 1975, and joined the Navy, and was in the Navy for 5.5 years, some of the best years of my life, with other Christians and a mentor and challenge for the cause of missions and enjoying the Word as I never had before. I got out of the Navy and went to a Bible college in the Philippines, and it was there where one of our missionary instructors told me about Citadel Bible College, which was in Ozark, Arkansas. That school closed down in 1987. Our hearts were crushed to know that that happened. But again, wonderful years of training, and as I was there, I met Wendy. God brought our lives together as He was directing us both to the field of Uruguay, South America. So it was in September of 1990 that we first went there, then with the mission board 31 years and been on the field 28 years. And almost 30 years now, the church here has been behind us in financial support and in prayer support. We're very thankful for that. Your input and having a part of our lives and ministry over so many years. So what we want to do right now is just take an 8-minute time span and take you to Uruguay. No shots required, no visas, just kind of, you know, just buckle up and we'll take you there and show you some of the people that have been involved in that ministry over the years.
Uruguay, South America, with a little more than 3 million people, lies south of Brazil and to the east of Argentina. The Spanish-speaking country has lots of rolling hills and pasture land. The Atlantic Ocean borders the southern part of the country, giving Uruguay hundreds of miles of beautiful beaches. Uruguay is made up of 19 state-like divisions called departments. Montevideo, the smallest department, is Uruguay's capital and contains more than half of the country's inhabitants. The city of Montevideo is divided into over 60 neighborhoods. We are Keith and Wendy Hawk, and for more than 30 years have been serving as church planting missionaries with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. Our focus of ministry is in Montevideo in the neighborhood of Parque Baige. Parque Baige Bible Church is a light in this neighborhood of over 50,000 in population with no other gospel witness. We helped begin this church in 1994. Our approach to this ministry has been evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. With the recent retirement of our longtime co-workers, we're thankful that God has supplied us with other capable co-laborers in the ministry. these helpers have been brought up in the ministry over the years, our children, and a national pastor and his wife. God has blessed us with children who love the Lord and have made a wonderful contribution to the ministry. Over the years, we have had the joy of seeing them become children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. In their upbringing, they have been faithful disciples and are following the Lord with all their heart. Our daughter Elizabeth graduated from Appalachian Bible College in 2015. Since her graduation, she has returned to Uruguay to serve with us. She has taken on many responsibilities and has become a vital part in this church planting ministry. Matthew graduated from Appalachian Bible College in 2016. He and Hannah were married in December of that year. They are gaining excellent ministry experience as Matthew is an associate pastor at a church in Ohio. David is a 2018 graduate of Appalachian Bible College. After helping with the ministry in Uruguay this summer, he will join Biblical Ministries Worldwide and then pursue seminary training and a church internship. His desire is to serve the Lord on the mission field. Timothy is still finishing up his studies at Appalachian Bible College and is very involved in his local church. This summer, he will do a missions internship in Spain. After graduation, he wants to be involved in missions work. Samuel is finishing up high school and is very involved in the ministry of Parque Valle Bible Church. We're so thankful for his love for the Lord, his desire to learn, and his willingness to serve. Part of our evangelism focus is having people in our home. As we open our home, we take opportunity to share of our faith in Jesus and of their need for the Savior. Another regular outreach is the open-air market. This weekly ministry gives regular contact with neighbors and vendors to share the gospel with them. Our church family is involved in reaching others with the gospel through children's classes, flyer distribution, Christmas program and dinner, baby shower, and personal outreach. As people come to faith in Christ, we want them to learn biblical truths, but we also want them to be equipped for the work of the ministry. That's what we want discipleship to look like, growing in the Lord and serving the Lord in the local church. Our goal for Parque Valle Bible Church is for its own independence, to be a church that's growing, self-governing, and able to support its own pastor. In order for us to reach this goal, we're wanting the church to have 60 adult members, one Uruguayan pastor, and other faithful men in leadership. The church is growing, but it is far from 60 adult members. It does have a heart for missions and helps support three missions ministries. People are being discipled and future leaders are being trained. God has blessed us with a godly Uruguayan pastor, Pedro Espinel. Pedro has been a part of the church since his early teens. His wife Lucy was saved as a young adult in this Parque Valle ministry. Pastor Pedro and his family are such a blessing to the church. Until the church grows and can financially provide for him, he works a full-time job. Meanwhile, Pedro is ministering to his family and to the church family with a joyful heart. He is faithfully involved in evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. We're thankful for our church family. Each one is ministering in some way. As they have been evangelized, discipled, and trained, they are now investing in the lives of others. Psalm 100, verse 2 begins, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It is a blessing and a privilege to be here in Uruguay serving the Lord. Even with challenges and obstacles in ministry, please pray that we'll always serve the Lord with gladness. Our church family is serving with gladness as they evangelize, disciple, and invest in the lives of future leaders. In a country where atheism is common, we are glad to see such a bright spot in so much darkness. Please pray that we will not grow weary in well-doing. The work is slow. Hearts have been deceived and are doubtful, discouraged and distrustful. Suicides are happening with increasing frequency and crime is rampant. Domestic violence is skyrocketing as the home structure is shattered. Churches and laborers are few. There is plenty of work that yet needs to be done, but more missionaries are leaving the field than arriving. Would you please pray that others will join us in ministering to this needy country? With you behind us and God's Spirit in us, our hearts are encouraged. God is at work in Uruguay. People are being reached. Please pray that God will be honored as we keep on in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Always gives us joy to share about the ministry. Thank you for letting us do that. I'd like to share from the Word this morning. And if you would please take your Bibles, I'd like to read a portion of the Scripture from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, and we'll look at verses 35 through 38. And I'll be reading from the New King James. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, our Father, for this time to worship you in song, remembering you with the Lord's table. Thank you for scripture that's been read, sharing that's been contributed. Thank you for this time that we can share your heart as we share your word. Please grant us, Lord, listening ears, and that I would be able to communicate your word as would honor you. Thank you for this time, for these people, and for our living Savior. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I entitled this portion of Scripture. I don't know what happened. I only put a portion of it on here, but if you've got your notes and you want to put the complete title, I actually put a part of the problem or a part of the solution. I guess it was just extra positive to see a part of the solution. But honestly, there have been times as I pray that I ask the Lord, please give me a heart and a usefulness of my life that I will be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And let's just take one for instance. Okay, there's, let's mention gossip. Okay, so somebody comes to me and says, "Keith, have you heard the latest about Pastor Dave?" Well, what am I supposed to say?
What?
No, of course not. I'd become a part of the problem if I fueled their fire and wanted all these juicy tidbits of how he combs his hair in the morning. I mean, The thing to say is, have you heard the latest about Pastor Dave? I say, you know what? I don't really think that concerns me right now. If there's an issue, you really ought to talk with him and go from there and see how God guides your steps. I mean, just something along that would be more of being part of the solution than part of the problem. Well, we can see that in the realm of missions and of how God wants to use different people for the cause of missions. And before us, we can actually be in two camps, be in one of two camps, either part of the problem or part of the solution. And I trust that as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, we would seek God's favor, that we would seek God's face and how He might use us, how He might use me to be a part of the solution in regards to missions. Now we can look at verse 35 and see how Jesus handled the ministry before Him. And specifically, his routine of ministry. His routine of ministry. I mean, this was a day's job for the Lord Jesus. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's quite a routine. Now, it's kind of in our human makeup, in our routines, we try to make, we can have a tendency to make life such a routine that it just makes it easy for me. Driving anywhere in Uruguay, on the street corners, there are people doing the little juggling act. They want to wash your windshield. They come at you with a coat hanger brace around their leg, looking for money. The weird thing is the coat hanger brace was on his other leg the other day, and so sometimes you just kind of wonder, how am I supposed to approach this? And it can affect our routine. I just want to drive from point A to point B, and I don't want these obstacles to become a part of my routine. I mean, and there are, decisions to make. The wife sends me to the store because we need an egg, for a recipe. We found out that the batch of eggs that we just bought from the market, are rotten, so we need an egg kind of now. And, the routine would be you walk half a block to the little mini market, you buy your egg and you run back home, but people exist and people have needs. And, sorry, Wendy, I had to wait this extra 20 minutes because the guy from the corner was at this store and he really needed my attention, and I had to give him a word of hope before I could bring our blessed egg home. I mean, they're just things in our routine. It could be a myriad of things. But Jesus was one to go about his routine with a heart of commitment. And we see that Jesus was regularly attending the people. That was just a way of life for him. His routine was people. And there have been times when we've said, more tongue-in-cheek than not, ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. I mean, but who can say that? I mean, that's the people is the ministry. We've got to understand, with the warts and all, in people's sinful state, just as we are, that there's going to be letdowns, there's going to be sin, there's going to be problems, there's going to be needs to be met. And the Lord Jesus went about his routine of ministry, attending to the people, without a second thought. That's why he came. He came to to seek and to save. He came to serve. He came to meet needs. And the fact of the matter is, he saw that there was very much an abundant need. And that's the fact, the thing that we face day after day. There's an abundant need around us because we are a needy people. We are needing to come to the Lord Jesus by faith that we might enjoy His great salvation. And even as children of God who have been saved by faith in Him, we're still a needy people. We need the Lord day by day. We need His Word. We need His direction. We need His guidance. We need His transforming power in us day by day to make us more into His image. And this was the routine of the Lord Jesus, attending the people, seeing the abundant need, and effectively taking on that task before Him for the glory of His Father. Jesus was obviously a part of the solution. Also, we see in verse 36 of His recognition of the multitudes. Now, Montevideo, the capital city, is a populated city. 1.5 million people in a pretty small area considering the rest of Uruguay. Uruguay is considerably smaller than Colorado, maybe more along the size of Oklahoma. But you've got this little portion, if you noticed in the map that indicated where Montevideo is, it's being the city, has over half of the country's population of the rest of the country. Well, just because there's a bunch of people there, doesn't mean that it's easy to recognize that that mass of people have needs. But the Lord Jesus, in the recognition of the multitudes, let's look at verse 36 again, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. How easy could it be in our routine, going from point A to point B, to bypass the multitudes around us? His attitude? Compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. That was His attitude. He was not calloused and He wasn't complacent. Just a bunch of people. They're going to have the same needs tomorrow. And besides that, most of them deserve what they've got their problems in right now. You know, that can happen, humanly speaking. But for the Lord Jesus to recognize these multitudes around Him, His attitude was one of compassion. He wanted to meet needs. He wanted to see people where they were and take them from where they were to where they needed to be. The problem with these people is that they were astray. They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Let's just take a look at Isaiah chapter 53, seeing the condition of the people now in Matthew was no different than the people that we see in Isaiah's time. Chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These people were a needy people. The results of having no shepherd, no one to lovingly guide them, lead them, feed them, meet their needs. They were considered outcasts. We won't look, but in John chapter 10, you know, Jesus speaks of having come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, that he is the good shepherd. And he compares himself to the one who's a hireling or a hired hand. And that hired hand was the one depicting the kind of care that these people received, meaning that they were abused. The people were distressed and dispirited. They were harassed and helpless. And there's a word description of, like, you have the string on a bow and how tight it is and how tense it is. And that's how these people were. They were just being so unattended to that life was becoming more and more hopeless, and they were on the verge of snapping. They were astray. They chose to not look to God. And there are grave consequences when one takes that course of action. Well, in verse 37, we see the reality of the mission field. Not just in Jesus' time, but for today as well. What's the reality of the mission field? Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The fact of the matter is, in the reality of this mission field, there is ample work. There's plenty that can be done. As we've traveled these past 10 weeks in the United States, I think one thing that has stood out to me, anytime it seems like we go into any business, there's a sign there that says, "We are hiring." There's ample work. Who wants to do it? And the reality of the mission field, sad to say, as there is ample work to be done, there is also an absence of workers. And as I shared in the Sunday school time, there are more missionaries leaving Uruguay than there are missionaries arriving Uruguay. As we have been gone and doing our travels here in the States, there have been few people keeping on with the work of the ministry. Well, then someone gets sick, and then someone makes some wrong decisions, and one by one there are less and less people doing this ample work. And then it becomes just a greater and greater task. And with the absence of workers, we can see that the task before us can be an overwhelming thing. But God allows us, by looking to Him, to make our request to the Master. There is a solution. As we see problems in the ministry, He certainly gives us a solution. And we can make our requests to the Master. Verse 38, he simply says, "Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Well, first of all, we see with our request to the Master that there's an action of obedience, and that is prayer. An action of obedience. Are we praying? Are we apathetic? Are we overwhelmed? Are we pessimistic? Do we just think that it just doesn't matter? Or are we obedient to the course of action to pray? We see here in the example in Matthew 9 going into chapter 10, we see basically the same thing in Luke chapter 10 when it talks about the absence of laborers and the great need in the harvest field. What happens as a result of prayer? God rallies His servants to go forth into the ministry. And so there's that aspect of the solution. A request to the Master, the Lord of the harvest. This Lord, He is authority. It's to Him we can go. It's to Him we should go in prayer. This word for Lord here, Kyrios, Master, Supreme Authority, Owner, Sovereign. He's worthy of us to approach. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He understands that it's not an overwhelming, what do I do type task as He wrings His hands. No. He is the one building His church. And He will use the servants He chooses to accomplish that task. Are we going to Him in prayer? Are we taking that action of obedience? Because the solution, a solution, is that He wants to add laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Let's make our request known to our Master. It's His harvest. He's the owner of it. He's the authority. And He wants to send out laborers into His harvest. He wants to add laborers. Someone has rightly said, we need more laborers and less loiterers. Pretty good perspective. I was getting some tires put on our car. This was a furlough or so ago. And another one of my sons, it wasn't Samuel here. We were sitting on a bench outside of a business that actually belonged to the business that was changing our tires, but maybe not directly. Anyway, someone came out and said, basically, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm just getting on my Wi-Fi because I see that you have it, and we're traveling, and we don't have it much, and it just kind of helps me keep in touch with family and other ministry. Well, he didn't really have a heart that said, oh, that's really cool, help yourself. It was more like, no loitering. If you can't be a part of making this business function in a better way, you don't belong here. So, in the Sunday school time, I asked you to pray for conduct. It was one of those times that you probably should have been praying a little bit more. But we did it. We removed ourselves, and we understand that loitering is not a good thing. I guess the question that has to be asked, am I loitering in the Lord's ministry? Am I a part of the solution that makes His ministry more effective, or am I an obstacle? Am I a deterrent? Am I following Him with all my heart, or just kind of being an obstruction? But the Lord is wanting to send forth, to send out more laborers. Now we see in different portions of the New Testament, the idea of being sent out has different connotations. Now in John 20, the Lord says, even as the Father sent me, so I send you. Well, that has to do with like a commission from a higher authority of one who's being sent out in the name of the other person. The Lord Jesus came in the name of His Father. We're being sent in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's one of the ways we're being sent out. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were being sent out. They were busy. They were some of the most valuable servants in the church. But the Holy Spirit appointed them to be sent out from the local body. Well, they were sent out with the blessing of the church, but that sending out was more than just, it was different than a commission. This sending out was releasing responsibility of these people. So they were being sent forth to further the work of God, building His church. They were given that kind of a goodbye, but knowing that they would be backed and supported and accountable even to their church family. But here, this sending forth is different than the other two. This one is being sent forth, but in the care of. And I love the idea of associating it to fishing. You know, you're sending out a lure, hoping it's going to accomplish its great task, but you as a fisherman has complete control of it. Not so far, not in the bushes, bringing it in fast, jigging it along, whatever. It's being sent out, but it's still in care of the hands of the one who sent it out. For the Lord to say that He wants to send forth laborers, it's not a sending forth in the sense of, well, I wish you the best of luck. Hope everything works out okay for you. Send me a card on occasion. No, that's not it at all. He's sending forth with His blessing, assuring the one who's being sent out that that person is in God's complete care continually. We're being sent forth with His strength and with His wisdom and with His blessing and with His guidance and with the results being totally left in His hands. We could have a tendency on the mission field to go forth wondering, why aren't there more people? Why isn't the church being built up? What we wanted to do in 10 years hasn't been done in almost 30 years. Where's our eyes being focused? On our circumstances. But if our focus is on the Lord Jesus, then He's our goal. We don't have a goal of 200 people in a church, or we don't have a goal of seeing 500 people saved a year. Our goal is the Lord Jesus. And being in His care, He will guide us and use us as He sees fit until He sees that we've accomplished the task that He wants. It could be tomorrow, and it could be another 20 years. But the fact of the matter is, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus, He'll guide us until He has accomplished in us and through us all that He wants. Let's conclude with two thoughts. My response to this message. Am I a part of the problem? Or am I a part of the solution? As the Lord went about His routine in verse 35, see that He was teaching, He was preaching, and He was healing. Well, we have to understand that there are certain things we can't do, such as going about healing. So let's go about the things that we can do. Can we teach? Can we preach? Can we share our faith? Can we make the Lord known to others around us? Can we minister more effectively in the church? Can we exalt God's name in our worship and our walk and our witness? And then lastly here, my responsibility to mission. A missionary instructor put before us as we considered missions, he says something like this, you know, there are too many times when people are willing to go to the mission field. But they're planning to stay. Like, Lord, I'm willing. And the missionary instructor said, well, why don't you word it like this? Why don't you plan to go, but be willing to stay? And that way, as we pursue following God and being used of Him, if He closes doors or decides for us to be used in one way or another, that's kind of up to Him. But at least we're moving in the right direction. Someone told me just recently that God would much prefer to steer a moving ship. If we're not moving at all, being lackadaisical maybe, or just kind of existing, then it takes a lot more prodding to get us going. But if we're being used of the Lord, and as I hear reports about a good VBS, for example, it sounds like different people were involved, that's moving in the right direction, and God will guide us and use us as He sees fit. But much better to be planning, to make that next step of faith of how can I be used of God and let the results rest in His hands. We certainly have that responsibility to Him to be ones who are actively obedient in prayer and ones who are desirous and planning and willing to be participants. So with prayer and with participation, we can certainly be a part of the solution in regards to missions and the building of the local church. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, our Father, for your word. Thank you for the perfect example of the Lord Jesus, how He went about His ministry. We want to emulate that, Lord, and with obedient hearts, with much prayer, talking to you about people and talking to people about you, planning to be used of you, sharing our faith and pointing people to the Savior. Thank you for this local church, for the excellent training that's being received, that's being given. We pray that it would be put into practice more and more as each one of us draws closer to you and presents ourselves before you, Lord, as living sacrifices, being instruments of godliness, of righteousness, pure vessels in the Master's hands for your honor and glory. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Our meal's downstairs, so we have no place we need to go quickly, right? So.